Seek you out, Father, for the very peace and comfort and provision that we just read from that psalm and song. We thank you, Father, for the quiet dwelling place that you give us that's in you. We're thankful, Father, for Jesus Christ who makes it possible for us to have that relationship with you again, to be at peace from sin, not separated by the death and the lies and the terror that sin is, that you can have no part of and must separate yourself from. But in Jesus Christ, we are cleansed from unrighteousness, and that we walk with you in harmony, and that you are our peace and our salvation. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ coming and making that sacrifice. We've already prayed that this evening. How important he is to us, and how important you made him in your plan, that it would all hinge on his sacrifice and his love for us, and that he showed that in the greatest possible abundance. We pray, Father, that you would forgive us for our sins, that on that blood of blessing and of righteousness that he shed, that you can cleanse us from unrighteousness, and you will continue to do so as we repent of things that are wrong and error and missing in our lives. We pray, Father, that you would draw us closer to the walk you would have us to go, to show us the pathway of peace, that we may stay on that and walk with you all the days of our lives. Father, we're mindful of those who do not know you, who around us in our community, those that we have regular contact with who do not know you, who do not understand the relationship you desire to have with them and the great suffering and loss that it is for them to not have a relationship with you. May the words that we deliver, the example that we live, the opportunity that we have before us go out to them to see the truth of your word and to be drawn to Jesus Christ for their salvation. We thank you, Father, for the word that is taught here faithfully in this congregation by all of those who stand before our brethren and teach the word of truth to encourage us. By Brother Randy, as he works and labors here with us as an evangelist to teach the gospel on a regular basis on each Lord's Day. We pray, Father, that those messages will echo out into our community and that will keep us strong and faithful and encourage us to be the light of Jesus Christ in this community. Father, be with those who can't be with us tonight and whatever hinders them, we pray that that might be quickly removed, that they may be back with us again as soon as possible. And please be with Father, the one who will speak to us tonight, to share another word of encouragement, of an invitation to be in Christ Jesus. May those listening listen attentively, caringly, and lovingly to the hopeful message that you have provided for us, that we might all be able to be with you forever and ever in eternity, having been forgiven and received into your family and being called your child. We pray these things in Christ Jesus' name.
The most challenging thing about this invitation is that I'm going to try to write on the board. So we'll see how that goes. I want to talk tonight about three truths that we need, and that's very, very simple. And the first one is God does not change. And of course, that should be pretty obvious to us. But it's sometimes forgotten, especially in our society today. People would like to think that God does change along with society. And we see sometimes religious groups will change their teaching and change their mind about specific subjects, or they'll just conveniently leave things out of the scriptures. But in James chapter 1 and verse 17... James chapter 1 and verse 17, James tells that every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. So that's a very strong statement by James, that everything has been revealed, and that everything that is good, everything that is perfect, has come to us from God, and it is perfect. And if it's perfect, it's complete. It's perfect. It certainly does not need to change. Also in Galatians chapter 1, in verses 6 and 7, Paul says, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ." And you can tell from what we've been studying what that was, is that there continued to be the Judaizing teachers who wanted people to to go back or to include the works of the Jews and the laws of the Old Covenant in their teaching. And so Paul is saying the gospel is here, the gospel is perfect, the gospel has not changed. And so God does not change, and we don't need to make any efforts to have him to change. Some of you may have seen earlier this week that there was a school in Florida, in the Valrico area, I believe, in close to Tampa, that put out a letter to parents that how they were going to enforce certain rules. This is a religious school. And what they said is that it's important school policy, and what it said that it cited scripture and that students would be referred to by the gender on their birth certificate during the school year, and it defined that, and that's the sex that you were assigned at birth, and that there was that we believe that God created mankind in his image, made man and woman sexually different but with equal dignity, and therefore one's biological sex must be affirmed and no attempt should be made to change that. And so I appreciated the forthrightness that this school came out with these things, and it's a private school, so people have a choice whether or not they attend, and they were saying, if you're going to attend here are the rules that are going to be enforced. And of course this made the news, and the first article that I read, it was pointing out the things that the administrator had said in the letter, how they were going to approach different things, including gender things. But that was not the only thing that the school referenced in their instruction. They referenced if there's any kind of immorality that is going on with students, if there is any sexual activity going on outside of marriage, that those students will be immediately expelled. And so this was not picking on gender issues. But when you look at, in fact, when I realized I was going to be doing an invitation tonight, I looked for this article. I did not find the original article that I read. I found it from another media news outlet. They did not mention any of the other issues that the school said that they would address and enforce. They only focused on this one thing that's controversial. And the reason I bring that up is that the point that this administrator is making is these are God's rules, and we're going to enforce God's rules. And they cited scripture on each one of the things that they wanted to do. And so they're saying God hasn't changed. We're not going to change. If you want to come to school, this is the way it is going to be. So that brings me to our next point. So if God doesn't change, man must change. Oh, well, that's not the way we want to do things. We don't want to change. We would rather God change, or we change the rules and change God's rules, or we become more inclusive and accepting. And this particular school is saying we're not going to bend and do things the way society wants them to be done. We're going to do what we think God's word is teaching us. And of course, there's been all kinds of threats against the school and against the administrator because of that, because they're so hateful. But what God says in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, and of course, this is the second sermon of Peter that we have recorded here after the day of Pentecost. Peter says in verse 19, "Repent therefore and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out." So he says to repent. What does that mean? That you need to change. That's what repent means. It means to turn. And that's what those on the day of Pentecost needed to do. That's what every time you see the gospel preached. Repentance is a turning away from evil and not doing those things anymore. So God doesn't change. So who is it that needs to do the changing? It's me. I'm the one that needs to do the changing. In Luke chapter 13, we see Jesus making this same point. Luke chapter 13 and verse 3. I'll start in verse 1. It says, there were some present at that very time who told him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all those other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And so, you know, Jesus is making a couple of points here. You're making a point that sometimes bad things happen, and it doesn't mean that because some great tragedy happened to this group of people that it was because they were more evil than you. And no, but you need to understand that you're still standing here, you're still alive and hearing my words, and what you need to do, you're going to suffer death as well. But he's talking about a spiritual death. A spiritual death is going to be worse than physical death. And so unless you repent, and he made the point twice, and so this is a big point that Jesus is making here. Unless you repent, what does that mean? It means change. Unless you change, quit doing the things that you're doing that you're not supposed to do. And that's the big lesson that the world really needs to hear today. It's so unkind and so hurtful to tell somebody that they need to change, but it needs to be taught. And so men must change. And what's the last point? And when we say men, we're speaking of all mankind, understand that. Because men and women have changed. So God hasn't changed. We must change, and people have changed. And if you're part of the body of Christ, you've made a change when you put on Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 9, Paul says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And so you see what he says here. There are things here that are against God's will. You who are idolaters and fornicators and adulterers, thieves, covetous, drunkards, homosexuals, and so these are listed here. It's certainly not an exhaustive list, but it's certainly when Paul is addressing the Corinthian brethren, they are very aware that there are people in their society that are involved in many, many of those things. And homosexuality was quite rampant in the Corinthian culture. And so Paul is saying these that are practicing these things, you know, you need to stop. You need to change. And what else does he say? He says you need to change, and some have changed. Yes, such were some of you, but you were sanctified and you were justified. So God doesn't change. Men must change, and men have changed. Let's also look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. And you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now in work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just like mankind. So you see all those past tense phrases there about the things that they used to do. We used to do these things. We used to be going in the wrong direction. But he changes gears here, verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him, seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so, again, here, is a reference to we once did these things. Those things are in the past, and by God's grace, we've been able to escape the clutches of sin and death. Also in 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 8. Now we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Understanding this, the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, and those who strike their fathers and mothers, for murderers, for the sexually immoral, men that practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine, in accordance with the gospel of the glory of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted. I thank Him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because He judged me faithful, appointing me to His service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of the Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. And again, you see what Paul's saying. He says, I was these things, and because of the grace of God, I'm not these things anymore. And it's very, very sad that the world is so confused about these things, not just about gender issues, but about sin in general, that sin needs to be put away in whatever form it's in. Because God hasn't changed His mind about what He thinks is sinful. The world has changed its mind about great many things, but God has not changed. And so we don't need to change God's Word. We need to change. Society needs to change. People need to change. And we can take great hope in that we can see so many examples of Paul and the Corinthian brethren. They talks about you were these things, but now you're not. And that can be said about all of us if we repent, that you were over here, but now you're over here. You were with the goats, but now you're with the sheep. You were with the tares, but now you're the wheat. So let's make sure that we accept God's Word and that we change our life and mold it after God's will. If we can help you in any way, be obedient to the gospel of Christ, we'd invite you to come. While we stand and sing.
Let's pray. Our God and our Father in heaven, how humbled we are to come before you, thankful for the day that you've given us and for the time we've been able to come together to study your word, to sing songs of praise to your name. Father, we are so thankful that you have not changed, that you are the God who you have always been, who you tell us you are, and that we can have faith in that, and we can have faith in your plan of salvation, that you sent your Son to this world, Father, to live a perfect life under the old law, and that he gave that life on the cross for us as a sacrifice, that through him we could have remission of our sins as we repent, as we change from our sinful ways, Father, and live a life that's pleasing and in accordance with your will. Father, we pray that you would forgive us of those things that we've done wrong, bring them to our attention, Father, that we can make sure that we turn from them and that we live in obedience to you. Father, we're mindful of all those that are sick, those that are on our minds and on our hearts. We pray, Father, if it be your will, that you will return them to better portions of their health. Father, we pray for those that will be traveling. We pray for their safety in those travels. Father, as well mindful of those that serve in our country's military, that's overseas and away from their families at this time. Father, especially mindful of Noah Gassaway, we pray that you'd be with him, that you would protect him, Father, and bring him back to his home. Father, we're mindful of our country and our fellow man. We pray, Father, that you would help us all to live peaceably with one another, to spread your word to those that we come in contact with. We pray for our government. We pray for those that represent us in our government, that they would seek after your wisdom and your guidance, Father, in the things that they do. Father, as we depart from this place this evening, we pray for your continued guidance in our life and protection in this world that we go out into. We pray, Father, that you would just lead us in the paths of righteousness and continue to shepherd us as you have. Father, we ask all these things in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.